when we can really channel our energy and cultivate more of that feminine energy, that sexual life force energy, that's where our aliveness comes from.
Welcome to the Sensuality Academy podcast, where I share tangible techniques to help you embody your femininity, enhance your sex life, and elevate your relationships. I'm your host, Eleanor Hadley, sensuality coach and founder of Sensual Yoga. Now let's unleash your inner sensualista. Hello and welcome to the Sensuality Academy podcast. Today's episode is for all the parents out there or anyone aspiring to be a parent someday. Actually, you know what? It's going to be helpful for anybody who knows people who have kids. We love a little bit of empathy around here. I have a lot of parents in my audience and especially mothers, and I know that many of you have actually reached out to me in the past and shared about your struggles with finding space for sensuality in motherhood. Now, I will never pretend to be the all-knowing expert on every single facet of sensuality, and I think it's really important to outsource your weaknesses and to call in people who know more on certain topics. And that's why I love getting a wide variety of guests here on the show for you. So today we have a mama joining us. Many of you, if you're regular listeners or follow along with me on socials, will know that I'm most certainly not the person to be talking at all about motherhood. I've never had a desire personally to be a mother. It's not something that really interests me or that feels very aligned for me personally. But I know that so many of you do desire to be mothers or parents, and many of you, in fact, already are. So I wanted to bring someone on the show that can speak on my favorite topic of all, sensuality, of course, through the lens of motherhood. It is a pleasure to introduce my guest today, Regan Figg, a pleasurepreneur and feminine embodiment coach who helps women to deepen their connection with their bodies, know, live, and succeed from their feminine essence and lead with pleasure in business, in motherhood, and in relationships. Through the pathway and practices of sensuality, Tao, Tantric arts, NLP, embodiment, and yogic practices, Regan mentors women through her uniquely curated Pleasurepreneur Mastermind, online programs, and private one-on-one coaching packages. Regan is here to be her embodied, liberated, sovereign goddess self and inspire others to be the same. And she also has her own podcast, which I encourage you all to check out. It's called Dive In with Regan Figg. In my chat today with Regan, we explored how new mothers can tap back into sensuality with ease, the problem with the Madonna whore dichotomy, finding time for pleasure practices, how to be more present with yourself and your children, and setting an example of embodiment for your children. And we cover so much more. It's a really, really wonderful chat. I hope that you love this episode and that if you're a parent, I hope that this helps you feel a bit more connected to your sensual self. So enjoy. Hello, Regan, and thank you so much for joining us on the Sensuality Academy podcast. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. I'm deeply honored. Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolute pleasure. So today we're talking all about motherhood and sensuality. And this is something that I think for a lot of people, they really feel like the two don't go together. And in our very patriarchal society, often we have this steeped in view that women can't, or mothers cannot be sensual, cannot be sexual beings. There's a huge influence of that Madonna whore complex. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That was something that I had not anticipated myself when becoming a mother, and something, so it has been very prominent in my experience as well as the experience I have with a lot of my clients. In fact, I want to say like 99% of my clients who are mothers. So it's like sometimes I think for me, so my background, I was a yoga teacher, still am, yoga meditation teacher. I was a professional dancer. It was like kind of a running joke in my family from when I was a child that like my motto was, if it feels good, do it. So I was always really connected with my body. I'm an exercise physiologist. I know all about the body and what happens in pregnancy and birth and postpartum. And one of the main things that really surprised me, as I said, was this shift into motherhood and this disconnect from sensuality. This disconnect also from sexuality. And what I discovered that was a lot of the practices that I had been able to lean into before motherhood wasn't fitting so well, wasn't as easily accessible in motherhood. And so therefore, I kind of didn't really have the access to what I thought I needed. So yeah, my experience has definitely been that once I sort of stepped into motherhood, that there was this kind of whole new box of beliefs that I had unknowingly collected over a lifetime, that a lot of my clients who I work with have collected over a lifetime, that are like exactly along that kind of narrative of mothers cannot be sexual beings, mothers cannot be sensual beings, the two cannot coexist. So yeah, I definitely can connect with that, that's for sure. So for me, I had to find a way of feeling good, and sensuality actually was the gateway for me and the pathway into sexuality for me as a mother.
Amazing. I think that that's such an interesting point to make around your practices changing or needing to shift or not feeling as familiar as they once were after becoming a mother. So how did your connection to your sensuality change quite tangibly afterwards?
So it was really a big change in the sense of before children, I had the space and the time to commit to regular practices, commit to certain rituals. So then becoming a mother, I wasn't able to access that, as I said before. So for me, it was about learning different ways to connect with my sensuality, which meant learning more accessible ways to connect with my body in a way that didn't require more time. It didn't require more energy. It didn't require anything more like from a financial sense either. And so for me, it was a big exploration. 4 months into motherhood, my eldest, when he was 4 months, he just was not sleeping well at all. Few months down the track, I was diagnosed with postnatal depression and anxiety and insomnia. And ultimately, I just had to find a way to make myself feel good. And so that journey back home to feeling good for me was really connecting to my body, connecting to my senses, and ultimately making every practice, every moment of my day a sensuality practice. I mean, even the smallest things, you know, like having your morning coffee, how often do we get to the bottom of the cup and we realize like it's gone? Do we even taste it? Do we smell it? Do we feel the coffee cup in our hands, you know? So for me, it was about accessing whatever I was doing at the time, accessing it with my body, with my senses, making it a sensual practice. And for me, that was really helpful in bringing me to the present moment. It was really helpful in me like connecting and really like fostering that relationship with my body, which ended up creating it created a pathway to a whole range of different things. Like it really enhanced my sexuality. It really enhanced like the knowing around my boundaries. It really helped me to make decisions. Yeah, it really helped me to connect with that feminine essence in myself that I honestly really hadn't been connected to for a very long time. So yeah, like just really embracing every moment that I could and creating that, like making that a sensual practice.
So beautiful. And I mean, everything that I do as well is of the senses, very much tuning in, stopping, slowing down. And I really feel like sometimes these practices, they're almost so simple that we can just negate them as irrelevant or unnecessary or they wouldn't work. But in your experience, it sounds like those little things are what helped you. It wasn't just this one big, you know, procedure or something that happened. It was just those tiny moments that allowed you to kind of come out of that phase.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think sometimes if something's not hard or difficult, we don't think there's value to it. You know, like it needs to be, we need to have to almost like suffer or work really hard for it to like be of value or mean something, right? And exactly right. So those little moments are the things that have stacked to allow me to really open that channel through to my ancient body wisdom, to allow me to, yeah, connect with my body and connect with that life force energy within me. So I suppose the effects for me, it hasn't just been about like really nourishing and nurturing my sexual energy, but nurturing, nourishing, and cultivating more of that life force energy that, you know, I can have three kids and still have, I've had broken sleep for 5 years and still like feel so alive and find, you know, juiciness in every day and be able to connect deeply with my children and my husband and whoever I'm around. And yeah, really be able to come from a place of sovereignty within myself. Yeah.
So beautiful. And it seems really, it's really inspiring to me. And my audience knows that I'm not a mother and I don't have a desire to be a mother. And so that's why it's really wonderful for me to get people on the podcast who have this experience, because I know that a lot of my audience are mums, are parents. And I know that a lot of them may be listening to this right now and being like, oh, cool. Well, that sounds all well and good for you. But they might have some resistance or some judgment or some hesitation about, well, I can't even finish a cup of coffee. I can't even, you know, get out of my trackies because I'm doing this job of mothering, of breastfeeding, or whatever it is that is involved in being a mom. Clearly, I don't know that much. But what would you say to someone who has that resistance and they're like, I don't know how I can get there? You know, what you're experiencing, what you're sharing sounds wonderful, but what if they have that resistance? I can't quite get there yet.
Yeah. That's such an awesome question. It's so, such a great question in terms of like practicality. So that was something I experienced as well. And what I found was it wasn't actually the logistics around it. When I kind of peeled back a few layers and started to, you know, journal on this and dive deeper into what was under the surface there, a lot of it was that sort of what you talked around at the beginning was this idea that I as a mother needed to actually come last, that I wasn't a priority, that pleasure for a mother is frivolous, that it's selfish, that a good mother needs to put her needs last. So it was actually a lot of the belief stuff, a lot of the mindset work that we have sort of picked up along the way. So for me, it was about using some processes that I also use in like my own coaching practices of, you know, that belief work, like starting to work out what some of those beliefs are, like where they've come from, not for the point of blaming other people, but just to get some context around it. You know, so often as mothers, we've actually kind of often picked up these things that we believe to be true and held on to them, even though they're not serving us. And when we look back, we realize it's perhaps from a sideways comment from a stranger. And perhaps we are kind of almost orchestrating our days around these kind of beliefs. So I would suggest perhaps looking at maybe if there are any of those kind of beliefs that are stopping you from accessing that pleasure. So what is it that's stopping you? And this is why I find, for me, I use pleasure as a tool for using that as like almost like a magnifying glass to find those beliefs. So what would feel good for you? What do you want to do? Like what would be pleasurable? And it doesn't have to be in a sexual sense. It could just be a matter of like wanting to go and have lunch with your girlfriends without any children attached to you. And so when that pleasure, that desire arrives, what are those thoughts that are shutting it down? Is it the idea of like, no, a good mother was with her child all the time, or no, I need to only enjoy pleasure once I've been productive and ticked all the boxes. So yeah, I guess really following the desires and being open and curious as to why you're not allowing yourself to have them in the first place, and then exploring that, not judging that, and seeing if there's a thought or a belief that would feel a whole lot better that you can replace that with. So for me, I had decided that instead of a good mother, you know, puts herself last or is with her children 24/7, I actually started to really look at the benefits that my children would get from being with other people, or the benefits they would get from having a mum who is experiencing her own pleasures from letting go of this idea of guilty pleasures. There's no such thing. So yeah, a lot of that mindset work is really interesting. What I found was really great to explore. You could do that in a journal. And then in terms of like logistics around things, ultimately just when I am reminding myself like on the regular, making it a practice, like it's not going to be perfect. You're probably not going to do it 100% of the time. That literally if you're having a sip of your coffee or your tea, like we talked about before, you can, you know, connect with some of your senses. You can feel your feet in the earth. Maybe it's also about thinking about the things that bring you pleasure that you can do with your children. So often we can think, oh, well, I'm with the kids all the time. But can you take them somewhere out in nature where it feels beautiful? Can you, you know, feel the sunshine on your skin, feel the breeze in your face? Can you go somewhere that feels nourishing for you, that you know will bring you some of that sort of cup filling pleasure experiences? Does that make sense?
Oh, that's so beautiful. I mean, I think that's just wonderful advice in general for everybody, regardless of if they're a parent or not. But from what I have observed of many friends becoming parents in my life recently, it seems like there is this overwhelming guilt, this parental guilt, and particularly mother's guilt of, you know, yeah, that intrusive thought of I'm not good enough. I'm a bad mom if, I'm a bad parent if I do X, Y, and Z. And I've had friends call me saying, you know, feeling really guilty, you know, if they can't produce enough breast milk, or feeling really guilty if their child isn't sleeping through the night and if they're doing something wrong. But I love that notion of this self-inquiry as to where do those stories come from? Whose voice is it in your head saying that, you know, you're a bad mom, you're a bad parent because of this. And I think a lot of them do come often from like random people, you know, mothers groups and people on Facebook and those groups and things like that, that you just kind of, you take on a little bit too much and it can really impact you.
Yeah. And that's what I really have enjoyed like witnessing in myself in terms of, you know, pregnancy, birth, motherhood, seeing it as this like evolution of myself. Like it seems like the more babies I have, the more I come home to myself and what is right for me and what aligns with me. And yeah, it has been an epic journey there so far.
I think that's a beautiful way of looking at it as well, because so many people assume that when you become a parent, you lose a part of yourself. But it sounds like you're saying you become more of yourself in a way.
Yeah, I think that was a lot of the problem that I had, you know, in that first year of parenthood for me. Not just that I was struggling, but on top of that, I layered this kind of second layer of suffering around, I shouldn't be feeling like this. You know, I'm clearly not doing it right. I've lost myself and, you know, I'm unrecognizable. It's almost like once I allowed myself to let go of those judgments, allowed myself to feel everything that came up, allowed myself to try and really connect with my body, whether that was through movement or through the senses or just listening to what it wanted and what it needed, I found it was easier to actually find that piece of myself that had been there all along. So it was quite the evolution. And I think too, like when you have kids, and my husband and I were talking about this recently, like we've just had our third babe. We had three under five. And, you know, when you are like busy with kids, you end up with, you know, it can feel like you have less time and energy for kind of like the shit that doesn't matter, you know. You're not willing to spend time with people that don't light you up. You're not willing to spend your time doing things that feel like an obligation. You know, you're not willing to sacrifice your children. You're not willing to sacrifice that disconnection with your children for something that's not going to nourish you, perhaps. I don't think that's probably the best statement I've just ever come up with in that last one, but what I'm trying to say is, yeah, you're able to sort of really decide what works for you what you're willing to put your energy into, what you're willing to sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that you need to sacrifice a whole lot of things in motherhood. That's a whole nother different conversation.
Yeah, it sounds to me like what you're saying is it allows you that perspective to go, this is what's important. That's not worth worrying about or giving my attention to. And you gain a little bit more clarity than maybe you had before.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. You put it much better. Very, very much more articulate. And I think too, I noticed after my second was born, I really started to dive deeper into my work. And I had decided that, you know, because I had these beautiful little humans, that ultimately I wasn't prepared to do anything that didn't feel good for me. That, you know, like I was saying before, I wasn't prepared to do anything that felt like an obligation. I wasn't prepared to say yes to everything just because perhaps I thought I should. And particularly in business, I wasn't prepared to do the, in inverted commas, the hustle. I decided that it was only going to get done in a way that really felt good for me. And I would only be like, I would allow my desires to drive me when it came to what it was that I had to offer, when it came to who I wanted to work with, the kind of the ways I offered my coaching packages and things like that too. So yeah, it's almost like kind of you get a new perspective on where you would like to spend your time and your energy. And from that, I've been able to really evolve my business and evolve my relationships in a really aligned and easeful and flowing way just by following that pleasure.
Oh, I think that's so, so beautiful. And I know that in my experience working with, you know, freelancers and seeing friends of mine who have recently become mothers, I just feel like mums get shit done so well. There's no procrastination. It's like, I have this window, I'm getting it done, and then I have to move on. And it's really, really impressive. So I think that it's so beautiful to have that awareness of, okay, this is like, I'm clear on this. I want to follow my pleasure and I'm just going to get it done and then continue on being, you know, raising these children.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think too, like, it can be like I've found for me, like being able to blend my work and my children and my motherhood and my womanhood and being a, you know, in being in an intimate relationship, like allowing all of it to be part of my work, allowing all of it to be part of me, allowing all of it to be part of my motherhood journey, not trying to separate them all and trying to, yeah, like keep them separate and keep them in their little categories. Like sometimes it's more about, you know, flowing with the motherhood journey, and other times it's more about flowing into that business journey. And I've been really well pleasantly surprised with, after now having this third babe, I wasn't sure how it would go in terms of available time that I would have to work with my clients. And I have just really committed to the belief that I'm always going to be really well supported to do my work, however that's going to arrive. And yeah, shit has just been getting done. You know, windows of time have just been opening up. Energy has just come forth with the things that I'm desiring to create. It's almost like it's creating more energy for me. You know, childcare seems to just kind of come out of nowhere, like in terms of perhaps my mom or my husband comes home early one day, or it's been really incredible to see that evolve. And I think that by me sort of being open to what feels good for me and following that has really kind of created this open expansiveness where I am open for any kind of opportunities to provide themselves to me. Yeah. So that's been a really interesting thing to experience and see. Yeah.
I love that. And I feel like a lot of people will mull over that. And it's a wonderful thing to kind of feel into how you could integrate that energy into your life as well. So there's one thing that I wanted to ask you specifically. So you mentioned before about really trying to tap into the ways that following your pleasure, allowing yourself to be sensual, exploring that side of yourself, how following your pleasure will impact and positively benefit your children. Because I think this is a really, really wonderful takeaway. If you have, you know, a certain amount of ways or positive benefits that you think everybody needs to know, I think that would be so helpful for our listeners, especially those who are parents.
Great. I love that question. Thank you for asking such a great question. So I think, well, first of all, we sort of start like thinking, okay, well, what would be the benefits to me? But I want to kind of start with like the actual benefits to what we are modeling to our children. Like our children are the next generation. I think if we have gripes with the way that women are treated, the way that perhaps even mothers are expected to be in the world, if we don't agree with the belief that we should come last and that we have to, if we don't agree with the idea that we have to be productive to experience pleasure, then that all starts with us, you know, and we have as mothers the opportunity to create a whole new paradigm where the next generation doesn't have to unlearn all of that stuff that's not going to serve them. So I see when I can be dancing in the kitchen, when I can be, you know, letting my kids know that I actually don't really feel like playing with them in this moment because I'm going to lay in the sunshine because that feels really good for me. I'm actually really modeling to them what, first of all, you know, self-care looks like, what loving yourself looks like, what connecting with your body and honoring your body looks like, what setting boundaries looks like. Like there's a whole range of things that we get to model to our children. So for example, so that my sons know what to perhaps expect from even really so that the next generation, so that they know perhaps how a woman really likes to, how people really like to find pleasure and access pleasure and prioritize pleasure, you know, so that that's just a given, you know, so that pleasure can be a priority. And so then we've get that whole kind of realm of like what we get to model to them is so powerful. And then in terms of like the benefits to say me or my clients or your listeners who are mothers or parents, like ultimately when we can do things that feel good for us, that really fills our cup, for lack of a better phrase, you know, it allows us to nourish ourselves so that it means that we reduce our stress levels. It means that we don't really find this overwhelm so easily. We get to increase what I call like our reactive threshold, you know, that kind of space between, you know, when our kids do something that make us want to scream and, you know, the actual reaction that we have. You know, I'll be very well aware that I haven't been focusing on doing what feels good for me when I'm starting to get a little bit snappy with my kids and I'm telling them no straight away instead of asking them, well, why do they want to do that? Or, you know, inquiring a little bit deeper. So there's that as well. There's then like obviously having that deeper connection with your children. You know, if you're feeling good in yourself, it's so much easier to relate with other people. It's so much easier to have compassion and to show empathy. And yeah, I think, like just I think those few things alone create such a huge shift in our world. So that's what's really fueling me, I suppose.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that the reason that I wanted to include that question is because I know that so many parents, so many mothers have programmed that self-sacrifice and, you know, my kids come first and I have to put them first. And so if we can kind of flip that a little bit and say, okay, yes, these, by putting yourself first and by prioritizing your pleasure, here's all the wild range of benefits for your children. Because I feel like that sells it a little bit more. It's so interesting that sometimes we fail to go, oh yeah, this is going to be good for me. But as parents, from what I understand, they say, oh, it's going to be good for my kids. Okay, cool. Now I understand. Or now it feels more aligned. Now, I don't know if that's me just making shit up, but they're my observations.
No, you're definitely onto something there. And it's almost like, you know, being just in the same, in proximity to your children almost takes a higher kind of value than the actual connection that you have with your children. And I think what perhaps our generation of parents are starting to understand or starting to explore or starting to witness is that perhaps it is more important to have that deeper connection with our children, even if it's only being with them perhaps half the time, than being with them for twice as long and not being able to be connected with them, not having that relationship that is formed from a place of, I suppose, well-being, you know. And as that's what I talked about sort of before, like when we are in this state of, you know, stress or overwhelm or tension, when our like nervous system is strung out, like it's really difficult to be able to be in the present moment. It's really difficult to be able to really form those deep connections. So yeah, I think I see that has so much value.
Definitely. And I absolutely agree, because my work is entirely about presence. I think for people like us who teach about sensuality, to be sensual is to be of the senses, and you can only be of the senses if you're truly present. And the way that sensual practices funnel out into everyday life is that you have more capacity to be deeply present. And that means that all your relationships, whether they're friendships, whether they're romantic relationships, relationships with your family and your children, if you are more present, everybody's going to be so much more nourished, right? Because I 1000% agree. You can be in the same room with someone for 4 hours and feel so, so bloody lonely, as opposed to 10 minutes of them just really giving a shit, really talking, being present, holding eye contact, having a wonderful conversation with someone. And it can feel so much more nourishing than just simply being around somebody. As a parent, I think that that's so wildly important. I know as a child with my parents, I know that that feels more nourishing for me to receive as a child. Not as a child, but as a, you know what I mean, as the child of my parents. Yes. It feels way more nourishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you're right when you're talking about, you know, sensuality and being of the senses. Like when we can actually embrace that as a practice, not just to enable us to feel good, but to be present, it then enables us to feel in our body, so that when our children are triggering us, when we are starting to get really frustrated, when we're starting to get annoyed or angry or, you know, yeah, triggered by our children, we can hear those messages from our body then. Our body is saying like, whoa, this is getting too much. You know, you can sense, you know, that's your connection with your body allows you to sense your boundaries are getting crossed here. You're starting to get worked up. So it allows you that kind of time to, as I was talking about before, like a bit of buffer. So that allows you to slow up a little bit. So perhaps maybe you just get frustrated as opposed to end up in, you know, a point of rage, or, you know, be able to talk things through with your kids as opposed to just getting angry and yelling. I've never felt the kind of anger that I've felt like since becoming a mother. And this is a really common thread that seems really taboo, that not a lot of people want to talk about. And, you know, our children are they're the like whole beings that, you know, reflect a whole bunch of stuff to us. And they're the ones that are going to kind of push our trigger buttons. And so like they're designed that way. So we can obviously love that within them so that we can then hopefully love that in us in return. So for me, being able to maintain and improve on and deepen that connection with my body, and like for my clients as well, that has been one of like the major things that they kind of didn't expect would happen from being sensual, being more sensual. They didn't expect that they would actually be more patient and more content and more able to take deep breaths and express themselves in a healthy way. As opposed to really reacting. Yeah. So that's been a huge paradigm shifter as well.
Amazing. Oh, I love that. And to shift things into a different gear, because I know that I've got a lot of listeners who will really, really want to know the answer to this question or this topic. Post birth, post having children, sex. Everything changes, right? I know that a lot of my clients who are parents have just said either they've lost a lot of their sex drive or they just don't feel comfortable in their bodies. A lot of things come up for them around sexuality, not to mention what we already discussed about that feeling of not being allowed to be both a parent and a sexual being at the same time. What are your tips? What are your thoughts about sex post-pregnancy, post-birth, post having children?
Oh, I'm so glad we've gone here. Well, ultimately, it's going to be so unique. And I see this as an opportunity for us to redefine what it means to be intimate, for us to redefine what we desire, for us to perhaps even deepen the connection we have with our partners, if we do have partners. So again, like coming to it from a place without any judgment, and coming to it from with an openness to be able to feel the stuff that comes up for us, and not judge it and explore it. And like so often, it's almost like it becomes this transition where there is this kind of big opportunity for women to actually kind of think about, and again, it's like this word redefine is coming into my mind, like think about, well, how actually do I want to feel pleasure? How do I want to be touched? How do I want to experience intimacy? And again, like we talked about before, like these kind of voices from outside of us of what is supposed to happen, what the shoulds are when it comes to intimacy, when it comes to sexuality, when it comes to being sexual, having sexual energy. So yeah, my kind of very brief, I suppose, dip into this conversation would be to like know that it's going to be unique for everyone. Know that there's going to be different things that come up for you, depending on, you know, there might have been birth trauma. There might have been a whole range of stuff that comes up through pregnancy, through birth, through actual postpartum. Having those conversations with your partner around what it is that you would like. And I see this as such a great opportunity, because sometimes when we can't, when we can only go kind of surface level with our partner, with having these conversations of how we would like things to be, they can only meet us then with the depth that we've gone, you know? So
yeah,
I guess perhaps I'm not answering this super articulately and concisely, but yeah, I guess number one, going with your own rhythm, choosing to explore what would feel good for you now, inviting open conversation, and getting creative. Because yeah, there will be times when, you know, there is like logistically, it can be logistically difficult to find time and windows to have sex, especially if you're co-sleeping with children. And so, yeah, I would just invite an element of creativity and an opportunity, again, to kind of redefine intimacy, redefine sexual energy, redefine sexual experiences with this kind of conversation around sort of libido as well. For sure, it can definitely be something that really dips for women, particularly because when we step into this kind of, particularly for mothers, first time mums, stepping into this new paradigm of motherhood, there isn't a huge amount of support. We're not living in our communities where we have access to a lot of support. Most women and most mothers are experiencing postnatal depletion. I've studied Tao Tantric arts, and we look at those kind of three different energies. And the first one, we really want to cultivate those kind of that principal energy where it's basically what I call like kind of your first cup, that kind of basic needs cup. So when we can enable our energy, when we can enable that cup to be filled, our basic needs cup, then that can start to overflow into that sexual energy cup. So if we're already feeling really depleted because we are breastfeeding around the clock, we're having to do the cooking and maybe the cleaning and all the mental load stuff, and we don't have a lot of support around us, and we're not feeling nurtured and nourished, and we're not taking, I don't want to say not taking care of ourselves, but we are not prioritizing our own needs, it can be really hard then for that kind of next cup to start to be filled. That's when we can start to feel really low, when we don't have desire, not even just for sex, but for anything. You know, we might not have any desire for a meal, creating a meal. We might not have any desire for creating an outfit. We might not have any desire for what we're going to do with our day. You know, everything can just become quite kind of stagnant. And so that's something that we've really dived into when I've worked with other women when it comes to libido. Like, how can we have our needs met? Maybe that is really, and this is, again, it's another great tool, another great practice for connecting with your body, like peeing when you need to pee, like eating when you're hungry, taking yourself to bed when you're tired, and obviously doing these things when you can, so that you are then filling that cup. Because when you are depleted in that sense, in those basic needs, there's not going to be that leftover energy for churning up that sexual life force energy that then flows into desire for sex, desire for the creation of anything. And that's like what like sex is designed for, right? Like creation of a new human. And as feminine beings, when we can really channel our energy and cultivate more of that feminine energy, that sexual life force energy, that's where our aliveness comes from, where we do feel that aliveness, that inspiration, that desire to create. And like I said, it could be creating anything, an outfit, a meal, another baby, you know, an offering in our work, a new project at work. Yeah, an experiences for our children, for our family. So I think just really having a look at what is working in our world, what is not working in our world, if our needs are being met, how can we get other people to help us meet them? How can we meet them on our own? What can we put into place to, I suppose, try and prevent that depletion? And again, like not being so hard on ourselves when we don't find that energy in that kind of sexual desire zone, that desire for creation.
Absolutely. I love that. I think that there's a huge amount of pressure that we place, or that a lot of people place on new parents to kind of just be back to their pre-children self immediately, and in so many ways, in your body, in your relationship, in your sexuality. And yes, we know sexuality is really important. It's a wonderful thing. But yes, like you said, taking your time to fill up your base needs cup first, and then allowing that conversation. I really love what you said about having that conversation and exploring what might feel good and pleasurable now, as opposed to trying to go back to how you used to have sex before, especially if you've had, like you said, some birth trauma, or just like getting used to a different body that is wonderful but different. It's going to be a bit of a journey, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I wanted to finish up by asking you to share your top three ways to connect directly with your sensuality as a new mum.
Okay, so I'm going to make these really simple and practical so that you can kind of weave them into your day, because that's what we need. I would, number one, and we've already mentioned it, connecting with your senses, because that can shift you from being in this very masculine, heady, rational, logistic, get shit done, goal oriented type of energy into your body, into that feminine, expressive, slow flowing kind of energy. So ultimately, like really, yeah, just connecting with your senses. And that could be the difference between getting your kids from A to B in the car, feeling really stressed out, feeling like you're rushed, you know, being really tense and annoyed and like looking for the fastest route to get there, and as compared to like getting into the car and feeling the support that you're receiving from the seat, feeling the steering wheel in your hands, smelling your tea or coffee, whatever it might be you have in the car, feeling that sunshine on your face, noticing like the beauty that's around you on the way. You're still going to get there in the same amount of time, but it's just going to feel a whole lot better, right? So yeah, connecting with your senses. You don't need extra time for it. Just, yeah, try and connect with those senses. The second one, I would say music. Music, allow some music and movement. Can I include two together there? Like I do what's called sensual sandwiches.
Absolutely. They go hand in hand.
Exactly right.
Oh, I love this. Okay. Tell me about a sensual sandwich.
Yeah. Sensual sandwiches. It's ultimately like when you have to be, you know, packing your children's lunch boxes or like doing any kind of mum gig stuff that, you know, you kind of need to do. You can still choose to do it, right? Or choose not to do it, but it kind of needs to get done. Just how can you make that more sensual? And so, yeah, so a lot of my my Instagram community follow along with sensual sandwiches, usually on a Thursday and a Friday morning. So it's literally just playing a song that feels good, moving your hips, making it a little bit ridiculous, but just getting into your body, like accessing that movement, accessing that music and, yeah, bringing some pleasure and some sensuality back into your body in that sense.
I love that. And I love that one because it's so easy. Like it's really not that hard to put on some music and move while you're doing the things that you need to do. And what a wonderful model for your children to see your mom just dancing around in the kitchen while she's making your lunch. Like that's cool. That's fun. That's such a lovely image, I think, for a child to see.
Such a mood booster as well, you know? And I would say then the third one would be like have some time to date yourself, you know? Maybe it is a bath. Maybe it is some time in your bedroom. Maybe it is some time at the beach or something. Just have some time to date yourself and, you know, maybe connect with your body by maybe you're going to put some nice oils on your body. Maybe it is about adorning yourself with something that makes you feel good. Maybe it is choosing something to wear that feels good. But ultimately just, yeah, allowing yourself to date yourself, like choose some music that would feel good. Maybe put on a feel-good playlist. Maybe make yourself something delicious that you can really savor and taste and enjoy. You know, maybe opening a bottle of champagne, even if you're only going to have a glass or two. Maybe it is like loving on yourself in a very intimate way that doesn't have to be about, you know, sex, but maybe it's just feeling, you know, your soft skin and being able to appreciate yourself, whether that's physically or just the person that you are, but really just, yeah, where you can finding perhaps some pockets to date yourself, whatever that might look like.
Beautiful. I think that's wonderful advice for everybody, especially the parents out there. Thank you so much for your wisdom and for sharing so, so many wonderful things with us today. Regan, I would love for you to share as well how people can find you on Instagram, any of your other socials. Where can we find you?
Yeah, sure. I would say Instagram, I'm there the most. So Regan_Fig, REGANFIGG. And I also have a podcast, Dive In with Regan Fig, if you are interested in hearing a little bit more. I've got my ecstatic birth story there from my last birth, which I believe was quite ecstatic from my sensuality practices. And actually, my sensuality practices with my business, to be honest. That's what I was really focused on a lot through that pregnancy. And that became such an ecstatic, amazing, beautiful birth. And I share some of the keys to that in my podcast. So Dive In with Regan Fig or Instagram, Regan_Fig. I would love to connect with your listeners there.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. I think that maybe another time we'll have to get you on to talk all about your ecstatic birth story. We didn't quite have enough time today, but I know that a lot of people would be very, very keen to learn more. So definitely go and check out Regan. I will have all of the details in the show notes as well. And thank you again so much for coming.
Oh, thank you so much. Like I said, I'm deeply honored to be here and spending this time with you. I only do things that, you know, bring me pleasure, and here we are. So thank you for having me.
Before you head off to listen to another episode, I want to tell you about my upcoming 6-week course called Embodied. I have had so many people asking me to teach more online because you're all missing out on my in-person workshops. So I've got you. Embodied is an online experience which will help you to drop into your most sensual self. Through video lessons, curated exercises, workbooks, and guided meditations, along with weekly live group coaching sessions with me, we'll explore how to truly feel embodied from the inside out. Each week, we'll dive into a new topic to help you connect deeper with yourself, your pleasure, and your loved ones. We'll explore themes such as self-inquiry and deconditioning, the energetics of feminine and masculine polarity, menstrual cycle awareness, self-intimacy and self-pleasure, sex and orgasm, of course, and relationships and communication. This course is an intensive exploration in my favorite topics to teach and to help you unlock your inner sensualista. Launching in July, waitlist students will receive bonus content plus priority enrollment. To get yourself on the waitlist, head to thesensualityacademy.com/embodied-waitlist or simply find the link in the episode description and show notes. I cannot wait for you to join me. Let's get embodied.